Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, a mixture of sun and clouds. We will have a high in the upper 60s. Right now, the temperatures starting out in Kenosha, 51 degrees. It's 56 in Burlington, 56 in Milwaukee, 54 at this hour in Racine. Fire departments from a number of communities in southeast Wisconsin early this morning joining Town of Burlington crews in the response to a call about smoke at the Meridian-operated Arborview Community Complex in the 34,000 block of Arbor Lane, which offers assisted living facilities. Memory care there is offered to those who may be suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia. The initial call for help involved what an employee reported as a lot of smoke around the memory care unit. No flames, however. Mutual Aid Box Alarm System Level 2 declaration came quickly. That brought in fire rigs, but also a bunch of rescue units from communities such as Wheatland, Rochester, Delavan, City of Burlington, Bloomfield, Lyons, Summers, and Kansasville. That box alarm was struck at about 1:30 this morning after roughly an hour. Details about what exactly happened, including with the senior residents, have not yet been provided. Emergency response and other officials in Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth counties have been working to set up a long-term recovery group. This in response to the flooding, of course, from last month. The common goal, to help the survivors with unmet needs. Benefits of collaboration include expanding resource capabilities, eliminating duplication of services for more efficient response, plus enhancing problem-solving through cross-referencing ideas. Anybody who's interested in learning more about this is invited to an informational meeting tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at Burlington High School. In Racine County Circuit Court, a woman from Kenosha facing charges. She's accused of stealing the purse of a 90-year-old woman. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
According to court documents, the victim was putting groceries in her car in the parking lot of the Piggly Wiggly on Durand Avenue when a woman asked if she needed help. The victim said no, she needed the exercise. 28-year-old Lacey Lancelotti is then accused of hugging the woman and grabbing her purse as she stepped away. A witness to the incident followed Lancelotti to her car and held the door open while another witness pulled the key from the ignition. The victim's purse was recovered. Lancelotti has been charged with robbery by force against an elderly person and misdemeanor retail theft for taking a bottle of wine without paying for it. She's being held on a $10,000 bond and will return to court next Thursday for a preliminary hearing on the charges. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
A former Marquette University nursing student now suing the school over a sexual assault from 2014 by a male student she thought was a friend. Attorney Julie Porter says the woman was very clear that she did not want to receive, in her words, offensive, rude, somewhat threatening text messages from the other student. So she, according to the lawsuit, she went to go meet the man a few days later while drunk and was sexually assaulted. Then she claims Marquette's public safety office recommended against contacting Milwaukee police. The Attorney General's office in Madison is soon going to have a new assistant who's going to help to prosecute the largest methamphetamine-related cases in the state. A lot of people, according to Attorney General Brad Schimmel, are making the jump these days from lower-level drugs to meth. A number of cases, nearly tripling from 2011 to 2015, and he says southeast Wisconsin is one of the areas where the numbers are growing.
As I've gone to all these counties, I'm hearing from more and more of them that methamphetamine was outpacing heroin in a lot of the counties, and now the crime lab results are showing it.
Southeast Wisconsin's got a problem, but the new assistant AG, he says, will be based in Eau Claire because it's worse in the northwest part of the state. Plans for a 10-room boarding house at 6027 18th Avenue to help relieve Kenosha's homeless problem blocked by the City Plan Commission last evening, the members unanimously concurring with a staff recommendation to stick with the city's parking rules and deny the exception. Under the ordinance, 5 off-street spaces would be required for a rooming house of that size. The house in question does have a 2-car garage and a long driveway, but the driveway doesn't count under the rules. Developer Josie McAllister indicating afterward that she'll be back with a revised plan. And they've got it now. The Racine Unified School District has possession of a donated airplane from a family in Marinette. In fact, there's a YouTube video on the RUSD website that shows its arrival in pieces at the airport for use with the Academies of Racine program. Dan Thielen, the chief of secondary school transformation, credits Horlick teacher James Buchholz for offering his expertise with creating one of the pathways.
He had come to us and said, you know, airplane mechanics and so on, that's a very high demand area. It's hard to find airplane mechanics and so on. And I would be willing to help develop a pathway to help address that need that would fit nicely in with the academies we're seeing.
Buchholz has a background with the Air Force. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs formally signs an agreement with the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs to extend funding for at least another year at transitional housing programs in both central Racine County and Waupaca County. An earlier announcement was a cut of $500,000 for the Veterans Housing and Recovery Program that serves almost 30 people at the Wisconsin Veterans Home Union Grove. That's on the Southern Wisconsin Center campus in Dover. House Speaker Paul Ryan, through a statement, says he's happy about the extension, but says programs like these have to be modernized in order to best potentially qualify for grants in the future. Some kind of a new industry is coming to Kenosha and in line to receive a $6 million grant from the city, the Plan Commission last evening approving a tax incremental financing proposal that includes the grant once the site begins to generate extra tax revenue. This is the former Dairyland Greyhound Dog Track site. City Administrator Frank Bassetti telling commissioners it is the first of several new structures envisioned for that land.
This project is the first building, give or take approximately 550 to 600,000 square feet, potential 500 plus employees. Once again, nothing signed yet, so that's very, very premature, but that's the building that's being presented here for the $6 million grant. The building then should, we believe, pan out to approximately $25 million assessed value on that building to support the grant.
The new industry not being identified at this point, the Dairyland Clubhouse expected to be demolished once the site is built out. According to Bassetti, there is the chance that the clubhouse and the first building to house the new industry could actually coexist for a time. A proposed two-day off-site strategic planning work session, November the 10th and the 11th, for City of Racine aldermen and staff will actually have a lot more value than the general public might believe. City Administrator Jim Palahniuk at this week's City Finance and Personnel Committee meeting said this is about a collective vision for the future. The Johnson Foundation at Wingspread offering the site and related services at no cost. He said the professional facilitator, though, will be an expenditure, just over $8,100. Palahniuk indicating that these are critical times and solid communication is needed to move the city forward.
You're talking about, you know, a $200 million a year organization. You're talking about 700 people, about the future of an entire community of 80,000 people. We're talking about Foxconn coming up. You're talking about all these major projects and programs and services. And to think that you couldn't step aside for a couple of days to really focus exclusively on the important issues of the city, I think we would be derelict if we didn't do it. Because unfortunately, so many times we come together for all these meetings and we deal with all the issues of the day, and they're all laid out for us, and we never really step back and talk about big picture items from a policy standpoint.
Council is to vote September the 5th on the Finance Committee's recommendation to approve it. And the Root River, with a significant piece of history in Racine, and to help us celebrate it, it's going to be a part of a Root River Festival taking place Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. at Lincoln Park, just north of Spring Street. Jim Chambers heads up the Root River Council. He talked to the Park and Rec Commission recently about it, noting that the previous festivals, this is going to be the fourth one, the previous festivals were held at Island Park and at the River Bend Nature Center. He said they wanted to showcase Lincoln Park because, in his words, it's kind of hidden away.
I'm hoping that this kind of serves as a way to enlighten people, too. It's really beautiful, and the river really defines the park. You know, it's a strong part of it there. We're hoping to have, and it looks like we will have, a rubber ducky derby as well.
Really?
Yeah, and so we'll have those released upstream, and then so there'll be really a long opportunity along the river to see them.
The Root River Festival Sunday afternoon to also have music and a beer garden presentation by the Benjamin Beer Company from downtown Racine. Again, noon to 5 p.m. at Racine's Lincoln Park. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.